Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing to look at what it means for God to be in the valleys of our life. And last week we looked at God in the valley of our pride. This week we look at the opposite of pride, shame. There are many ways we feel and experience shame, and many causes of that feeling of shame. So this week we're going to consider the shame that comes from having done wrong, from having sinned and rebelled against God. Next time, we'll consider a different aspect of shame. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition of shame says that it is a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety. So shame is a negative emotion often caused by one's own sense of having done something wrong, an acknowledgement of guilt, and it gives us a feeling of being disgraced. As such, with sin comes shame. Shame makes us feel bad about ourselves and what we have done. It makes us want to cover up our mistakes, to try to act like it never happened, which often ends up causing us to sin more in an attempt to keep the original sin a secret. But having a sense of shame or guilt can be a good thing, as it helps to keep us aware of when we are moving away from God and instead following our own selfish, sinful desires. Having a sense of shame helps to prevent us reveling in our sin and continuing to behave in ways that hurt others, ourselves, and God. But we are also told that we are cleansed from shame when we come to Jesus. So let me tell you a funny little tale to illustrate how shame can sometimes be good for us. A new pastor was visiting the homes of some of the people in his congregation. He came to one house and he knocked, but there was no answer. He could see the lights were on and it seemed very obvious that someone was home. So he knocked again. When there was no response, he took out a note card and simply wrote on it, Revelation 3:20. And he stuck it in the door. The next Sunday, after the offering was passed, he found someone had put his note card in the plate. He looked at it to see that they had added to it a cryptic message, simply saying Genesis 3:10. So the pastor grabbed his Bible and opened it to the verse cited and began to laugh. So Revelation 3:20 begins, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Genesis 3:10 reads, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." Now that's a silly and probably an apocryphal tale, but it reminds us that shame in appropriate doses and in timely measures can help us remain in the path God calls us to walk. Because when we have shame, it can help us to avoid acts or thoughts or words that will be bad for us. The man was ashamed that he was naked in his house, and so he didn't open the door. If he didn't have that shame, he would have opened the door to the pastor, which would have had interesting effects. We need to be careful to listen sometimes to our shame, to stop us from walking away from God. But the problem comes when we have an excessive amount of shame that condemns us and leads us to withdrawing from God. But let's think about where shame comes from. We can see that it has been around since nearly the beginning of the world. When Adam and Eve first walked in the garden, we are told Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. In the beginning, the world was perfect. There was no sin and therefore no shame either. And yet, just one chapter later, Adam and Eve are full of shame, hiding from God and trying to cover themselves. What was the cause of this change? It was their disobedience and rebellion against God. Their sin. After they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Suddenly, they developed understandings of sin and shame. We're told, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And they hid from God when they heard his voice, because they were ashamed because they were naked. Sin causes separation from God, which brings us shame. Adam and Eve stopped following God and followed their own interests and found themselves making bad choices that brought them shame. Shame came at the introduction of sin into the world. Where sin exists, shame is sure to follow. It might be tempting for us to point the finger at Adam and Eve and say, "Look what you've done. You've ruined the world for everyone." Perhaps we find ourselves sometimes thinking, "Oh, I could have done better than that. How hard is it to stay away from one tree?" But when we are honest with ourselves, we know that we are no better. Romans 3 verses 22 and 23 say, "There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all guilty of sinning, and therefore we all experience shame and have to deal with the consequences that come from our sin and shame. Shame has, therefore, the purpose of convicting us when we do wrong, of highlighting when we are straying away from God's design for our lives. Shame is a consequence of sin and can help draw us back to God if we respond appropriately to it. But shame can also keep us from God if we allow it to weigh too heavily on us and increase to unhealthy levels. We often seem unable to know what to do with it, and it becomes a struggle to cope with. Sometimes when we make mistakes, we feel so ashamed of them that we cannot bear the thought of anyone finding out about it. We even feel horrified about the fact that God does know. And so sometimes there is an attempt to cover it up, but sometimes shame just makes us withdraw from God. Satan uses shame to convince us that we are not worthy of God's forgiveness and that there is nothing that can possibly remove the stain that sin has placed upon our lives. And so we withdraw further from God, thinking that we cannot possibly be in his holy presence with the stinking, wretched stain of sin and shame that has enveloped us. We do exactly the opposite of what we need to do in that situation. We stop praying. We stop reading God's word. We ignore the promises of God and instead listen to the voices of guilt, shame, and self-recrimination. We find ourselves thinking that we will never escape the crushing weight of shame. There is no way out of it. But this is simply not true. Satan uses shame to convince us that there is no way God will be able to overcome the sin in our lives. But while sin and shame may have a strong hold on our lives, God is far, far stronger than that. When we give in to shame and allow it to take over, we minimize the work that Jesus did on the cross, and we ignore the fact that by dying and rising again, he has conquered over all sin, all shame, all wrongdoing, and every stain. There is nothing that is too big for Jesus' sacrifice to cover. When you feel that your shame has created an uncrossable chasm between you and God, remember that God has made a way through Jesus. He is there waiting to welcome you home. His arms are outstretched, ready to wrap you in his loving embrace. Do not let shame make you think you are unforgivable. God's love is stronger than any sin. His grace is greater than any shame. Earlier we read a couple of verses from Romans 3. "There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And the sentence carries on to say, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. It says, "All are justified freely by his grace." There is no condition, there is no exception in that. Everyone can be justified freely by coming to him, by receiving Jesus' grace by faith. Do you ever struggle to believe that you are forgiven? Do you find yourself convinced that God holds your past sins over your heads and he tallies up all that he has forgiven you for? Well, let me comfort you. Let's read Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who will do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. When we are feeling like we are unforgivable, when we feel that we have done too much or our shame is too big for God to forgive us, perhaps remind yourself of this psalm. God loves you as high as the heavens are above the earth, and has removed your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west. This means that you are abundantly loved and endlessly forgiven. God is not storing up your sins to see if you have reached your limit on forgiveness. He is not holding your shame against you. As long as you come before him humbly and repentantly, he forgives you and removes the stain of sin from you. He removes all the shame that is upon you. And it doesn't matter how often you come to him or how big your mistake is. There is nothing that cannot be made clean. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus' righteousness. You are made totally clean by Jesus' beautiful sacrifice. Now, I recognise that this might be a painful topic to think about, and so I want to encourage you to take time at the end of this video to respond and to listen to what God is saying. Spend time with God as he ministers to you. Hear his voice calling you closer to him, saying, I forgive you, and I love you. Recognize that God washes us clean. He fills us with light to chase out the darkness of our shame. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love us more than we can possibly imagine, more than we could possibly deserve. Yet you love us despite all the things that we have done wrong. And Father, I thank you that you take our transgressions and you remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. You do not let us stand covered in sin and shame. Instead, you have given us your righteousness. You have washed us clean because Jesus died to take our sins, our shame, upon himself. So Lord, help us as we consider our stance before you, Lord. Help us to recognise that you are here and you are waiting to throw your arms around us. And Lord, if there is any lingering sense of shame, search it out and teach us how to come to you with it and be forgiven and set free. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.